Achoo! Yo! What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB Liz podcast. It's Brian and Mario here to go through the remaining week 11 games here. How you doing today?
Brian, I'm doing excellent. Now you see me. I'm back. I'm good to be here. What a game last night. We got to see the Nor'easter jerseys from the Patriots. I kind of like them. They're fun.
I don't hate it. I like it when they mix up the jerseys. Like, why do we have to use the same one for, you know, three quarters of the games? Let's mix it up. I like the color rush.
I like the color rush. I just don't want to see they can go too far. Like, you know, the yellow Red Sox jerseys. I don't want to see that. That's like just keeping it in that town. But I like
I can see that. Yeah, my brother's color, most of my family's colorblind. But like, I didn't realize how much those color rush jerseys affected the colorblind. He's like, I don't know who's who. It's so hard to watch. I'm I get that. It's like, it's when you just watch the Prime Vision, you know, because then they highlight all the players. They tell you who it is. It's cool. Not a sponsor, though.
I like that. Yeah, no free ads here.
Well, folks, we're going to be starting all the way in Spain, working our way through all of the Sunday games and the Monday night. We're going to throw 3 minutes on the clock, and we're going to get rocking, get it rolling. You ready to get it going?
Let's do it.
Here we go. Washington, the 3-7 Commanders taking on the 3-7 Dolphins in Spain. 47.5 point over under. Miami's favored by 2.5. These quarterbacks, I think they're both decent RB2 plays for me this week. Mariota and Tua.
Yeah, QB2, I guess. QB. I mean, Tua, yeah, I'm looking at their points per game. Tua's 31st, Mariota's 37th. I mean, that's probably where I have them ranked, right? And there's not even 32 quarterbacks. So I'm really looking to avoid it. The two teams on bye are Indy and New Orleans. So, you know, maybe you need a Daniel Jones pivot, but I'm not looking at this game.
Yeah, definitely not forcing it. I think I like him more in the Superflex format. But for some reason, I feel like we might get some points from this one. Might get a little bit of excitement over here in this international.
You know, the Spain air might be lighter, and it's a great matchup. I did miss that, but Miami allows the 8th most to quarterbacks, Washington the 2nd most. So points are available for the taking. It's just I can't close my eyes and see Mariota, the Flying Hawaiian, taking those points.
Yeah, do they pull it off? Do they take advantage of this great matchup? One guy I do believe will, Devon Achane, running back for the Dolphins, has been the most consistent running back across the league this year. I imagine that continues on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Don't overthink this one. On the other side, Miami allows the 9th most to running back, so that could be good, except if there was just one guy you trusted. And there's really 3 guys you don't trust. There's Chris Rodriguez. There's Bill. As of late, Bill's kind of fallen off a cliff. I'm starting to sit him for some other options. I think his ceiling is running back too, but he's given you running back 3 numbers as of late. I'll take the chance on Rodriguez. I think he's been getting the lion's share as of late.
I like that as well. Bill, I think he needs a great matchup, great game script, and this one could be that, but I'd rather go Rodriguez if I'm having to play one of the two.
Agreed. And just another little bonus nugget, but in the last 4 games, no touchdowns for Bill. 3 out of 4 games has a touchdown for Roddy, so just another little feather in his cap.
Love that. Going to the wide receivers, Jalen Waddle has been amazing since Tyreek Hill went down, over 80 yards in 5 of the 6 games. The only game he didn't was that windy game in Cleveland. So, starting him up, wide receiver 1 for me. Low-end wide receiver 1 is where I have him ranked.
I love that. It's a great matchup. Washington allows the 2nd most points to wide receiver. Everybody else, we're talking the Debos, like, you know, wide receiver 4, even in this great matchup. I just can't trust Mariota to support 2 guys. And on the other side, everybody else on Miami's. Yeah, no, and the whole game, wide receiver 4. Miami allows the 5th fewest points, so I don't love that. Debo, maybe, but you need a touchdown, so I don't like any wide receiver.
Yeah, Debo's dealing with a heel injury, and you can tell it's hampering him. He's only had 41 as his max yardage over the last 5 games that four games that he's played. It's not great. It's not great. No. But if you have to play one, I think he's the only one that really interests me outside of Waddle here as far as the pass catchers go.
Agreed. If we're talking pass catchers as a whole, you know, I like Ertz. You could sprinkle him in. I think he's the best option for a touchdown in that offense, but it's not pretty.
It really isn't. If we want to get down and dirty here, Dulcich, he may or may not have made the tight end streaming article for the week. Over his last 3 weeks with this team, he's maxed out all the way up to 72% of a route share. We saw Waller be comparable in this offense. We've seen the touchdowns come. So if you're really, really struggling, he might be a dart throw for me this week.
I don't hate it. But then you got to get up early to watch him. That's the only downside.
Early? 9:30? What are you talking about? I've got half my day knocked out before kickoff.
Oh,
I love it.
Oh, my goodness.
I love it.
I'm thinking of the West Coast fans. I'm thinking of Mariota's family, the Flying Hawaiian. You know how early they got to get up to watch this game?
You mean just stay up from the night before? That's essentially probably what they're doing at this point. Because, yeah. What is it, 3:30 a.m. is where it's debuting out there? That's wild.
Someone will tell us in the comments.
Who wins it?
Oh, man. I'll give it to Miami. Both these teams are kind of tanking, but I think Washington's leaning into it a little bit more. I think the coach is on the hot seat in Miami, so I think a win means more there. I'll give it to them.
Miami seems to be playing with some heart these last few weeks. They're not doing great, but I think it's a lack of talent, not them actually wanting to go out there and perform.
Not effort.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. I like Miami. Let's get the win for them.
Let's do it.
Next up, going into Atlanta, got a divisional battle. We got a lot of divisional battles, so I'm just going to save myself from saying that 10 times. It's the 5-5 Panthers taking on the 3-6 Falcons in a 42.5 point over-under. Atlanta's favored by 3.5 here. Again, another couple of quarterbacks that you're not really looking at unless you're in a super flex league.
No, and I got to be honest about this game. I was done almost all of my notes, and then I saw Drake London didn't practice on Wednesday. And I was like, oh, let me update my notes to say that. So I did, you know, a little control F. I realized I skipped this game, and I didn't even realize it. And I think that is just the analysis of this game. Is like you can kind of just skip it. There are some things. Quarterbacks, we are skipping. Running backs, Rico missed practice on Wednesday. I believe he returned in a limited fashion on Thursday for his quad. That's something to monitor. Obviously, he's set and forget if he's healthy, but if he's not healthy, be aware of the pivot. And then Bijan, I mean, you're so frustrated that they hate giving him the ball in the red zone, but you're still gonna start Bijan. He's just an animal.
Yeah, I'm not forcing Algier my lineups, but I think he's a decent play over these next few games. They have positive matchups. If he is going to get more of that goal line work, I think he could give you a decent floor. But yeah, Bijan Robinson, you just got to roll with the punches. It's not always going to be there each and every week, the RB1 finish, but he will be an RB1 most likely.
Yep, just be happy that it's not a Seattle situation at this point.
God, I don't... Oh, God. Kick me while I'm down, why don't you? For the wide receivers, Tet McMillan is the only pass catcher I am interested in for Bryce Young, and it's purely just because of Tet's talent. Wide receiver 24 on the year, 8 targets, 6 targets, 10 targets the last 3 weeks, so production's there. But outside of that one game where he got 2 touchdowns against Dallas, because everybody scores on Dallas. It's the touchdowns. It's the touchdowns. If we need the positive regression in that direction for him.
Yeah, we hope to see it. We kind of saw it the same thing with like Breece Hall, where he had just the one game where it seems like the faucet opened up, the Nick Manigold game. But besides that, no touchdowns. So hopefully we see some positive regression. On the other side, Carolina allows the 5th fewest to wide receivers. Drake London, he did return to practice on Thursday in a limited capacity. If he's healthy, he's the only guy I'm trusting. The next man up is Mooney, but I have him as like a wide receiver 3 with some upside if London's not there, but I'm not loving that matchup.
Yeah, Mooney's been kind of great or gross this year. 8 targets last week. Yeah, not great. That was last season. 8 targets last week, that's awesome. Only caught one of them for 17 yards. Michael Penix. This coaching, it just seems like they're falling in that category of inept. They need to make some sort of move, some sort of pivot. I don't think they're going to.
No, I think they're going to when it's too late. And Carolina is historically much better when they're not favorites, when they're underdogs. So even more the reason I like Carolina here.
And the only other tight end worth talking about is your buddy, Kyle Pitts.
Oh,
you put him out there?
You know I ain't.
Yeah, he falls in that category of like tight end 7 to 18, where they all could finish relatively close to each other. So if you need to, go for it. But I like other options this week.
Same.
Who wins it?
I'll give it to Carolina. They're better as the underdogs. I still think, you know, there's an outside chance they win that division. It's like that was my preseason call, and I'm sticking with it.
If they win this game and we go to our next game and the Bucs take a loss, they will be tied for first. Very interesting situation there. Give me the Panthers.
Oh, okay.
We right. No, give me Atlanta.
Ooh, no, give me the Panthers. No conviction. No conviction.
No, I really don't. These divisional games are just maddening sometimes.
They're brutal. Not a divisional in this one, though.
Yeah, but it should be a goodie. Going to Buffalo for this one. It's the 6-3 Bucks taking on the 6-3 Bills and a 47.5 point over-under. Buffalo's favored by 5.5. And we're already seeing the smack talk. Smack talk between Baker and Josh Allen, the golfing debate they were having in a lot of the press conferences. Looks like it should be, you know, good fun, decent friends out of these two quarterbacks. I'm playing them both, though.
Absolutely. I mean, I will say about Allen, like, you drafted him second, third round. He hasn't been that guy. He's still been a QB1, but I just think at this point of the season, we're just setting the expectations. We know he's not going to get you those 35 a game, but still QB1. And Baker, same thing with Baker. You love him.
You playing Joe Flacco or Baker this week?
I would do Baker. This game, we expect there to be points. We expect it to be a shootout. I'm excited about this one. Just to give me a reason to watch this game, I'm starting Baker over Flacco.
I do have Flacco ranked just ahead of Baker, but that's not supposed to be a knock on Baker. It's just interesting.
That's just a tidbit. Okay.
on the running back side, we've got James Cook, tried and true. Outside of bad game scripts, he's been untouchable.
He's been insane. On the other side, where it gets a little Bucky Irving finally spotted at practice on Wednesday and Thursday. He was limited both days. To me, this is the ramp-up week. This is like the week before he gets any game time. But it's so tough to see because he was never put on IR. It doesn't give us that. Whoever does start for running back, which, like I said, I think it's White at this point, this is a great matchup. Buffalo allows the sixth most to running back. So if it is White out there, even though Sean Tucker had some value last week, was the first rusher to eclipse 50 yards against the Patriots, I'm still smashing Bucky here. Or not Bucky, White.
White, yeah.
Man.
Rashawn, last three games rushing, 38, 35, and 38 rushing yards. He has not been getting it done in his opportunity to really blossom without Bucky Irving. I'm playing him as an RB3, hopefully the shootout, possibly, you know, get you some upside with the target share. He saw 5, 2, and 6 targets in his last three games, but tempered expectations, I guess, for Bucky. Rashawn White. I'm so ready for Bucky.
So, okay, I am not. We're going to go over time because of this, but my GTA league, I finally had to, we're losing the amount of spots you can save. I finally had to let go of Bucky, and how fitting would it be the week I have to say goodbye to him, he would come back and start against a great matchup.
It'd only be better if you were playing against him.
Don't do that.
For the wide receivers, Emeka Egbuka, he has been, as advertised this year, absolutely great. Good play this week. Tez Johnson, the number two, he scored 4 touchdowns in his last 4 games. He scored almost 5 points over expectation. I don't think it can continue. I don't mind him as a play this week, just in the shootout, but touchdown's not going to be there every week.
Touchdown's not going to be there every week, but I'll admit he was my top waiver target of the week. I think this could be the game to do it, especially if there's no Bucky Irving. I think this could be his last juicy matchup where he's just going to get that priority. So I like him a lot. Egbuka, obviously still the wide receiver one, but if Tez is the red zone guy, he's the red zone guy. I'm not going to fight him on that.
Yeah, agree. On the other side, we got Coleman and Shakir. Are you playing Shakir or Tez Johnson?
I would do Tez Johnson because I think he's the one that would find the end zone. Shakir is 1 touchdown since week 5.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Tight ends, Kate Otten. There's some people that support him. I'm not one of them. If you need to stream him, go for it. I'd almost rather play Dawson Knox, who's going to be filling in for Dalton Kincaid, who's injured.
Wow. Yeah, Kate Otten, I think I would just take the gamble on, because if you don't think Tez is going to get those red zone targets, it's going to be Kate Otten, and just Kate Otten hasn't been that guy this season. So,
yeah I don't still hasn't found the end zone. Kate Otten.
Yeah, I don't like the tight ends this game.
Who wins it?
Oh, man, they both need a win. They both lost to New England, which is just like a fun little tidbit these two teams share.
They're both coming off a loss too.
Oh, I'm gonna give it a Buffalo. I don't know if they cover. I'm undecided about 5.5, but I think Buffalo money line.
It's in Buffalo. I'm gonna take Buffalo as well. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Next up, battle AFC teams here. We've got the Chargers taking 7-3. Chargers taking on the 5-4 Jags in Jacksonville. 44-point over under. Chargers favored by 3 points in this one. I don't even want to talk about Trevor Lawrence because, but Herbert, I want to talk about him. He's looking great.
I love talking about Herbert. In this game, I don't know if it has a title because, like, these two teams don't really have a rivalry, but this is, like, the game of the huge comeback, right? Like, the Chargers, before they fired, I can't even remember their coach, who he was,
Staley.
The analytics guy. Staley, yep. You know, this was the game. They had the huge lead. Jacksonville came back at half, so if there's a name for that, this is this rivalry game. All right, 30 seconds down. Yeah, we're not starting Lawrence. Chargers allow 3rd fewest to quarterbacks. Other side, Jacksonville allows the 3rd most. Herbert, still this late into the season, leads all quarterbacks in rushing. So I love him here.
Yeah, same. Love that. Vidal, we get back and forth, literally back and forth games every single week since he's taken over. 47-8, 33-7, 44-8. This week should be a bad one if you follow that trend. But in that sense, like, I'm still playing him. I'm putting him out there as an RB2.
Yeah, I would as well. Jacksonville has the 10th most points. So, you know what? I think that he at least has a medium game. I know his game script is due for a bad one. I think, like you said, he's going to raise the floor. It's a really good matchup. And I think that that's kind of the formula for success for the Chargers right now. I think we'll get to wide receivers in a second. But with that offensive line so beat up, they just need to run the ball as a way to just make sure Herbert's not on the ground half the game. So I think Vidal's going to see a good game here.
Nice. On the other side, Travis Etienne, no matter how you feel about him, you cannot deny the workload there. So I am going to put him out there. RB11, RB10 over the last 2 weeks since the bye week. And Tootin, he's nothing more than a handcuff at this point. I know.
Oh,
I know.
My gosh. Clip this. We need this just for the database, just for the ball.
I had to drop him in more leagues than I wanted to this week.
Oh, man. It's him or Higgins. I agree with that, though, and 100%. Ready to go to Washington or wide receivers. Parker Washington looks like he could still be the top dog. I think he popped up on the injury report. I don't want to.
Back at practice Thursday.
Okay, he was back today or yesterday, so that's good. Yeah, I think he might be the top dog. I mean, at the same time, Brian Thomas Jr. did miss last week. He was back at practice on Wednesday, I believe Thursday as well. That's, I guess, the interesting thing is, like, where do we have these guys ranked? Is Washington the top dog, or does Brian Thomas Jr. remember how to catch a ball?
I've got Washington over Brian Thomas Jr. I saw some video of him out at practice. You can see he's still favoring that leg a little bit. Okay. So, you know, however that injury is, if he plays or not, I still think I'd rather play Washington even if BTJ's out there. But BTJ, then he's like a flex play for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think BTJ does still have some value, but he's far and away from the wide receiver when he drafted him to be. I think he's a fine flex. I think he is on the other side, like the Keenan Allen, right? Like Keenan Allen, who we talked about in the past, should have that safer floor with all his targets. I think with Herbert not being able to stay in the pocket as long as he likes, I think Keenan Allen is the one that suffers the most from that.
Yeah, and ever since Gadsden's come in, he has taken so much work from Keenan Allen. So Keenan Allen is by far my biggest fade this week here. Gadsden, I really like, is a great play. And I think Quentin Johnson can get it done. I have him a lot closer to Ladd than I do Keenan Allen this week. If you can beat the Jags anywhere, it's on the perimeter. It's the outside wide receiver. So QJ might have a decent chance of catching a few deep balls for me this week.
I couldn't agree more with that. I think that's a perfect ranking of them.
And then Brenton Strange coming back from IR. You're not running out to go get him, but just keep an eye. You know, he had like a 17-ish% target share. That's not bad for a low-end tight end one.
No, I like it a lot. He's someone, like you said, coming back off the bye. If you have like a roster slot that you're a little bit more flexible on, I don't hate picking him up and just kind of seeing where it goes.
For sure. Who do you have winning?
Chargers got to get revenge for that playoff game. I'm not even a fan of the Chargers, but that playoff game meltdown hurt me so bad. So I'm going to pick Chargers.
I feel so confident in the Chargers that it feels trappy. But yeah, I'm going to go Chargers.
Right? Like, doesn't -3, and you're just like, what happened? And you're like, I don't, like, Jacksonville did beat the Chiefs, but come on, we all watched that game. Like,
I mean, who hasn't beat the Chiefs this year? Come on.
That's true.
Next up, this one kind of surprising where the records are on these teams. 6-3 Bears taking on the 4-5 Vikings. 48.5 point over under. Minnesota's favored by 2.5 in this one. Caleb Williams, how do you feel about starting him this week? Because I have him inside of my top 12.
I do not. I would start JJ over him. Like, JJ, I know we haven't seen a lot of him. He's coming off a QB 14 finish, so not great. But Chicago has the second most points, so it's a good matchup. And he looked good against them back in week one. Like, I know it's a long time from now, but I just don't trust Caleb. Caleb, to me, is just waiting to turn back into a pumpkin. I'd take the chance on JJ in a good matchup.
Yeah, I've got Caleb Williams at 12 and then JJ McCarthy at 14, so pretty close. JJ McCarthy's rushing a lot more than I would have expected. First two games before the injury, 25 yards in both games, 12 yards in that game against Detroit. But last week, 48 yards against Baltimore.
Wow. It's just something in my brain that rookie quarterbacks run more. It's like, it doesn't matter who they are, but they're going to be running more.
Just scared run around out there.
Yeah, just really just because they're terrified. I would run for my life if I was out there, so I assume they would too.
Running backs, we've got a pretty similar situation on both sides. Since DeAndre Swift's injury came back, he took over the workload, took it back over Monongai, did find the end zone last week, I do believe. But yeah, he did find the end zone, only 7 rushes, 28 yards. But it seems like Swift is the starter and Monongai is the handcuff, similar to the other side. Aaron Jones, 12% target share, looking like a RB1 workload. And then Jordan Mason's just an unsexy handcuff.
It's exactly what it is. I think that it's clear as day. I have them both kind of as RB2s. Jones didn't look as great last week. Jones looked good 2 weeks ago. Last week, the touchdown saved him. So I'd have Swift a little bit higher than Jones, but same. Both startable.
As for the wide receivers, going to Roma Dunze, Daddy got involved. The helicopter parent came in there and made sure he got his workload. But I'm putting him back out there. He is the best receiver on the team. So starting him with confidence.
Yeah, my notes for this game was to make Rome's dad the offensive coordinator for the Bears because he understands the assignment, right? Like, get the ball to your best player. Did come at Zacchaeus' expense, and I think that that's kind of – I'm really fading every wide receiver that's not Rome. I think on the other side, it's a little bit more interesting to talk about. So week 10 was the first time McCarthy started and finished a game that Jefferson didn't score. I think Jefferson will be fine. I think there's no world you're not starting him. Addison is the one I'm a little concerned about. I kind of talked about in some previous episodes, like the sit start. I'm just worried about that connection between JJ and Addison. It just feels like it hasn't happened yet. We feel like it's Naylor's getting more benefit than Addison. I'm just not sure what it is. Maybe like the way the routes are. I'm not sure. This is the last week. If you want to make a trade, it's the fantasy trade deadline in most standard leagues. So if you believe in Addison, I think this is the week you could make the push for it before this game, but that's my notes.
I don't mind the trade for Addison. He's had a couple bum games. You might be able to get him cheap. I will say, so I'm starting Addison and Jefferson. Like, I'm not saying I don't want to start them, but Chicago struggles with the slot position. I'm not going to be surprised if Jalen Naylor is a top 30 wide receiver this week.
I'm telling you, he likes him. Like, it's the Aaron Rodgers thing all over again. If there's a guy the pass thrower likes, it's going to go to that guy.
Yeah, as far as the tight ends, Loveland, since Komet came back, Loveland, you know, his work is being split there. And then Hockenson, Hawken who? No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, my Hockenson heart. It's just my achy heart. That didn't work. We'll work on that one. We'll have it ready for next week.
Who do you have winning?
Man, you're right about the records, but I think Minnesota, I mean, does Chicago come back down to earth, or is Chicago just a playoff team now? I don't think so. I'll give it to Minnesota 2.5.
I think the Bears can keep it close, but I think the Vikings, I think they pull it off here. They're due for a good win.
Yeah, they need it. They need it on JJ's resume.
Well, folks, temper expectations here. Let's don't get too excited, but it's Jameis time. 5-3-1 Packers taking on the 2-8 Giants. 42.5 point over under. Green Bay is favored by 7. And yes, Daboll's out. He's been fired. Jameis Winston's coming into play for Jackson Dart, who is concussed.
Yep. Hashtag the return. My biggest takeaway from this game is that Green Bay's defense is a must start. They immediately skyrocket in my power rankings. But yeah, and just credit to Mike Kafka, Eagles legend, who understood the assignment. Like, interim head coach, and he's like, guys, first order of business, Jameis is starting. Rounding applause, right? Like, couldn't be easier.
Like, I mean, there's no excitement putting Russell Wilson out there. So who cares if Jameis goes out there and loses the game? The assignment is to lose the game. Like, let's not trip up here. They're 2-8. You're in line for a top pick.
Yeah. Oh, so this one should be great. But so just talking about, so all this talk about Jameis, like, would you start Jameis? Would you, like, first game off the bench and who knows how long? Daniel Jones, you know, is on bye this week. You're looking at your other options. It's like Tua, Geno, Jameis.
I have Jameis ranked above Trevor Lawrence, but I still have Jameis Winston at QB20. Like, I'm not playing him in Superflex League. I am playing him in a few, but like, I'm not rushing in there to go play. Like, he is still limited on weapons. Darius Slayton is probably going to miss this game with the hamstring injury. Running game is going to be nothing. You know, like, I don't want to play Tracy or Singletary.
No, I don't either. Yeah, skipping ahead, but no, I don't either. So, okay, that's the Jameis talk. What about Jordan Love? Jordan Love, he had a bad game last week. He's kind of been kind of mid-ish. I feel like he's been quarterback 12 to 15 most of the games. Giants allowed the sixth most, so this is a game I would start up Love. I'd feel better about him.
Yeah, I've got Love at 13. I've got him sandwiched between Caleb Williams and J.J. McCarthy right now. So if you have to put him out there, I think the upside is capped because of just the injuries to the pass catchers and everything that's going on there.
I agree. He's exactly that. He's at the tail end of a 12-man league. Like, you can start him.
Jacobs is an easy start for me. Got to put him out there. But like I said, I don't want to play the other two. Like, this is like a tiered down version of Charbonnet and Ken Walker with Tracy and Singletary. Multiple tiers down.
Multiple, and you're absolutely right. They've literally flipped carry leaders the last three games. Like, you, just when we think we understand it, they flip it. So now that we think we understand it because we see the pattern, it's going to be unpredictable again. So who knows? I'm avoiding if I absolutely have to pick one of these guys. I'm really not. I'm going to just avoid it. I'm going to go Jacobs and no one else on that side of the ball.
Same. When we get to wide receivers, Romeo Doubs left the game Monday with a chest injury. He was back at practice, so he'll be playing. You're looking at Doubs, Watson. On the other side, Wandale. And then the tight ends, we got Theo Johnson and Luke Musgrave. Which ones do you feel good about playing?
Wandale, I do think, could have some value, especially if Slayton misses. And if, like, if you truly believe in the Jameis bump, then Wandale should be an easy start, right? Like, in your mind, if you think Jameis is going to do what Jameis does, Wandale's going to walk away with nearly 200 yards. And if there's any touchdowns, it'll be to him, is what I imagine. So if you believe in Jameis, I like Wandale the most out of all the pass catchers. If you're a sane person and you don't, it's Wicks had 8 targets, so it'd probably be him. But I really hate all these options. It'd probably be Wandale still. It'd probably be Jameis's Wandale over the Green Bay pass catchers.
I'd go Watson, Wandale, and then Doubs as far as the wide receivers go. I can't quit on Watson. I just can't. I don't know why.
You can't. And like I said, Wicks surprised me. He had 8 targets.
But they're so crazy. Shallow and bad and boring. I love me a good deep catch from Christian Watson.
I know. I hate all these guys. Bring back Tucker Kraft.
I was going to say, with that said, tight ends, I don't mind playing Luke Musgrave or Theo Johnson. Theo Johnson, just because he's one of the few pass catchers they have. And Luke Musgrave, only 3 targets on this last game against the Eagles, but we knew that was going to be a bad matchup. He wasn't somebody we were targeting last week. I'm interested in picking him up.
I agree 100%. I think this is a good matchup for him.
Who wins it?
Giants are going to cover. Jameis is going to do something stupid and cover. I don't know if I'm picking a money line, but Jameis is going to cover.
Yeah, I'm taking Green, but 5-3-1. That's about how I view the team. They feel like a 5-3-1 team.
It's kind of crazy.
Only honest one out there. Next up, another divisional battle. Imagine that.
Wow.
We have the 3-6 Bengals taking on the 5-4 Steelers in Pittsburgh. It's a 49-point over under. Pittsburgh's favored by 5.5. This is a rematch of the game earlier on in the season where Cincinnati, I mean, Joe Flacco got traded, went in there and took care of business, got the dub.
Yeah, he did.
I like both these quarterbacks, though. I've both ranked in my top 10.
I'll say top 10 is a little rich for me, but I do like Rodgers a lot here. I think Rodgers could light this one up. I think that if they do win this game, which I expect Pittsburgh to do, I think it's going to be through Rodgers. So I like, I probably have Rodgers over Flacco.
Rodgers or Baker?
I think Baker. I think that game is just, I think got that game is just going to be too much.
Got them back to back. Rodgers or Caleb?
Rodgers for sure. I think Caleb's a fraud.
Rodgers or Love?
Ooh, passing of the torch, it might be Love, but that one's really close because I think Love wants to kind of make a statement.
I do have Rodgers just above both of those guys. Going to the running backs here, Chase Brown, no Samaje Perine, who has been the only one cutting into his workload. So Chase Brown's going to be the guy, and I love that for my team. So, yes, start him up.
Well, if it benefits your team, yes. Tough matchup. Pittsburgh allows the 9th fewest. On the other side of the ball, the Bengals allow the most to running back. So it's all war, no peace out there. It's war in time. You don't have to worry. It seems like none of the other guys are even like making a dent in his workload. So I have Warren pretty high as a low running back 1 this week just because I love the matchup so much. And then
How do we look at these wide receivers?
Man, Pittsburgh allows the 2nd most. You love to see that by Chase. You love to see that for Higgins. And I love both of those guys. I don't really like DK, which is so interesting, right? Because we're talking about, we think Aaron Rodgers is going to do well. It's like, how, though? And I just don't see.
They're called tight ends. I see him as like the
football. Yeah, there it is. Tell me about the tight ends.
Yeah, because DK Metcalf, last time these two teams played, it was pretty abysmal. Granted, he didn't really have to do much, but 3 catches, 50 yards. He was wide receiver 42. Over his last 4 games, he's finished wide receiver 50, 82, 12, and 42. It's been gross, absolutely gross. And this team, you can they are on a historic pace for the amount of points they give up to tight ends. Last time they played, Smith, Freiermuth, and Washington scored a touchdown. I've got DK Metcalf as a low-end wide receiver too, but would you rather play Juwan Jennings or DK?
I would play Juwan Jennings. And just one more note about this game. We talk about how the Bengals allow so many points. But as we kind of saw in the Chicago game, it's like their number one cornerback, the one who shadows the stars, he's the only decent defender out there. So another reason you don't like DeKalb.
Yeah, 100% love that. Yeah, Chase Higgins, easy plays. And I'll tease it out. I do have one of the Pittsburgh tight ends as a stream this week. Going to have to go read the article. Check it out. It's over there on QBList.com where you can check out my streaming article as well as all the other guys that we have doing streaming articles. What we saw, the start sit that we have from Jay. Great stuff over there. QBList.com, PitcherList, football.pitcherlist.com.
Yeah.
Who wins it?
Oh, man. I'll give it to Pittsburgh to cover. I think Aaron Rodgers, I think they're going to find their way to 9-8. I think this is a win.
I want to pick the Bengals, but they're at home. I think they split the wins. Bengals got it last time. And yeah. Baltimore is one game behind it. Like, Pittsburgh might not make the playoffs. Pittsburgh might not make the playoffs, and they look so good for a while.
It's crazy. I mean, they had such a head start with Baltimore, just like, you know, not having a healthy roster for 4 weeks, but they're healthy now.
It's unreal. Unreal. Next one. Yep, and it's a divisional game again, folks.
Divisional game.
4-5 Texans taking on the 1-8 Titans in this one. It's a 37-point over-under. Houston's favored by a 6. No C.J. Stroud. We've got Davis the Neck Mills coming in here again. Do we talk quarterbacks?
We talk quarterbacks. One of these guys was quarterback one last week. We got to put some
respect. I forgot about that.
Yeah, believe me, I forgot about it too. And then I was just doing my notes and I was like, how bad did Mills even do? 28.7 points. Pretty good. Does he repeat it? I don't know, but I'm just saying, if we're looking at his two games, he played home against Denver, a really tough matchup, scored 6 points. He played home against Jacksonville, a great matchup, scored 28 points. Tennessee's, it's a road game, but it's like kind of in the middle. So if all I'm saying, you're in a 14-man league, Daniel Jones is, you know, your starter, he's on bye, or it's like between Mills and Tua, I think I'd pick Mills.
I think I'm taking Tua there. I do like that Spain game, I think, there, but like
Spain game. It's fast grass in Spain.
Davis Mills or Trevor Lawrence? And your super flex.
I think I'd do Mills. I think I would do Mills. Yeah.
Jameis or Davis Mills?
Oh, man. I want to be part of the Jameis experience. I want to be able to tell my kids about Jameis.
I think Davis Mills is a little safer, but Jameis is just so much more fun.
Yeah.
Running backs, Woody Marks. I mean, D'Amico Ryans came out and said they were not trying to make him the feature back, was not trying to make him the guy. Last week, he fell into the role of being the guy. 14 carries, 63 yards, and a touchdown. Also caught 2 balls for 18 yards. Nick Chubb is just waiver wire fodder to me. Even if Woody Marks wasn't taking over, I just don't want it.
No, even though Woody Marks like wasn't purposely taking over, he took over. And I feel like there was another quote the coach said where it's just like they don't make rookies like Woody Marks, because it's just that, like, what a compliment that is. And not only that, it's an excellent matchup. Tennessee allows the second most points. So I think we're Marxists on Sunday. I think that we're full blown in onto this revolution.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same time, here's just an interesting nugget. Two out of the last three games, Chubb has actually outcarried Marks. It's just that Marks is just so much more efficient with the ball in his hands.
Chubb, we appreciate you. You served your time. It's time to take that walk into the sun, though.
Nothing wrong with that, Chubb. Like, you helped a lot of players and a lot of fantasy managers in your time. So,
are you messing with the Spears Pollard situation on the other side?
I am. It's one I'm heavily monitoring because, to me, Spears is just so much more talented than Pollard. I think Spears can be a viable fantasy asset. The biggest problem is just that Tennessee's offense is just allergic to any kind of production. Yep. Like, I feel like that they've never even sniffed the end zone, the red zone, let alone the orange zone, whatever you want to call it. They're just not getting scoring opportunities. So I think the talent is there. I think if Tennessee ever figures it out, he'll have value, but they just haven't figured it out yet. So I'm rostering. I'm not starting. He probably still have him as a running back 3 until something improves.
Yeah, I like that. Wide receivers, it's Nico Collins has been so much better with Davis Mills over these last couple of weeks. I'm trying to find the stat. I think he, in the last 11 games with C.J. Stroud, I think he's only topped 80 yards once in that, whereas Davis Mills, he's done that, 136, 75 the last 2 weeks, 11 targets, 15 targets the last 2 weeks. Really like Nico. If I had to play a second one out of this game, I think it's going to be the rookie Jaden Higgins. I think he has the best chance of getting in the end zone.
Yeah, I think my thing about the other Houston guys is it's just I mean, 2 weeks ago it was Hutchinson, right? And like now it's Higgins. And it's like, to me, that's what it's going to be. It's just going to be a toss up. If anything, out of all of the wide receivers not named Nico in this game, I think Chimere DK would be my pick. We talked about him in the waiver show a few weeks back. He had a bad game the last week, but a good game the previous two. So I think that, again, if there is someone that's making that connection with Cam Ward, I'm liking DK. I'd have him over Ridley at this point.
I'll add, too, with D'Amico Ryans talking about Woody Marks, he was also talking about Higgins and Noel, how they didn't want to get them as involved as they are. But at this point, they are. Like, they're out-producing Kirk. They're out-snapping Kirk. And Noel, his first down per route run, it's actually exactly where Amon-Ra St. Brown was in his first year. So we're not making that.
We're not making that
comparison. But he was my favorite of the two out of the Iowa State wide receivers, him and Higgins, coming out of the draft. I was upset that Higgins did get the second round capital. But no, still a day two pick got taken up in the second round. I think they're names to monitor going forward. This offense is still something I'm staying away from in fantasy. But, you know, keep an eye.
Yeah, so I keep an eye on.
Does Houston get the points? Six games in the divisional battle.
I'll give Tennessee the points just out of pride. You need to have a pride cover. I think that's important for bad teams. So I'll give them a pride cover here.
But like Tennessee, you're the only one loss team or one win team. Don't mess this up. You could be another AFC South team that picks back-to-back first round, just like Trevor Lawrence and Trayvon Walker they did a few years ago.
Wow, I forgot about that. Yeah. Just an AFC South tradition.
Yeah, and they whiffed. The Jags whiffed on it, too. Let Aiden Hutchinson go at two to the Lions.
Oh, my goodness.
Stupid.
That's sad. That's the Colts fan, and you just throw some dabs. I love it. A little bit. Let's get to yet another divisional game.
Well, and funny enough, the NFC West last week played each other, and they did it again this week. So this time we've got the 6-4 Niners taking on the 3-6 Cardinals. 48-point over-under. San Francisco is favored by 3. Brockley Purdy coming back. He's going to start in week 11. Finally. I don't want to play him, though. First game back, like him and Jacoby Brissett are QB2s for me.
I would play Brock. Just to me, it's just the same thing it's always been for San Francisco. The assignment in San Francisco is get the ball to your very talented pass catchers. And yes, even though Prime Debo's gone, Ayuk's still nowhere to be seen. Guess what? CMC, he's still going to get a ton of receiving yards. Kittle's still a stud. Even Juwan Jennings is very, very talented. I think he's one of the better wide receiver twos on a team. So I would start Brock Purdy.
Or Caleb Williams?
Brock Purdy. These are the layups. I mean, you know how I feel about
Caleb. I'm taking Caleb.
Okay, let's see. We'll see how they do next week on the Monday show, on the Tuesday show.
CMC wasn't quite himself this past week. You know, wasn't your favorite performance. Came in at RB16. Brian Robinson's taken a touchdown in each of the last two games. But CMC, you put him out there.
Yeah, I think you do put him out there. And I guess if we did want to like just talk a little bit about Brissett, even though you're probably not like, you know, it's not a sexy pick, but it isn't too bad of a matchup. He has finished his quarterback 10 in back-to-back games. They were pretty good matchups. At Dallas is a great matchup, but then at Seattle's a little bit of a tougher matchup. So if you're really kind of like searching through the weeds right now, I don't hate Brissett.
All four of his starts, he's been a QB12 or higher. So yeah, something to note.
I think he's someone that we could just be like dismissing a little early because that entire team stinks, but there could be some value there.
For the running backs on the Arizona side, Trey Benson, I don't think he's going to be playing. Bam Knight was back at practice. I think when it comes down to it, DeMercado is the only one I want to play, and it's kind of game script dependent.
Absolutely that. DeMercado's the guy. It's still kind of have him as like a high 3, low 2 with a little bit of upside. So it's DeMercado. And we obviously talked about CMC. But Brian Robinson, I'm not going to say he's reliable to start, but he's been putting up, you know, kind of high running back 3 numbers as of late. It just seems like when these games get away from him, which this game, even though it's only a 3-point spread, has the chance to get out of hand. So it wouldn't surprise me if this is a game script where Brian Robinson could play a majority of the fourth quarter. And because of that, you know, just trip into 50 yards, maybe a touchdown.
Also, I probably top 3 handcuff for me as well.
Easily. So it's just the added upside, right? Like you're in a 12, you're in a 14 man league. You know, JT's on bye, Kamara's on bye. You throw him in as your flex. And then if anything happens to CMC, knock on wood. There you go. There's your league winner.
Ricky Pearsall, finally back at practice. I am willing to play Ricky and Juwan Jennings in this game with Brock Purdy back. because absolutely. I don't know if I want to play. Marv had a appendicitis, so he just had a surgery.
He's out this week. Yeah. He's out this week, potentially longer. He's someone I'm desperate in some leagues. I'm actually trying to make a trade for him for Dobbins. We're talking about an IR swap, but we'll see how that goes. But yeah, so obviously we'll see what goes on with MH2. If he does come back, whenever he comes back, I'm trusting him. He's not here this one. But yes, Ricky and Jennings. If I had to pick one of the two, I'm probably leaning Jennings just because Ricky's Same. Missed so much time. But I would start up either. As I'd say Jennings, wide receiver two, Ricky's closer to a high three.
Michael Wilson, if you're really down that bad, I could see playing him. But honestly, San Francisco is the worst team against slot wide receivers. Not really saying play Greg Dortch. Maybe he's just more enticing from a betting aspect. Like his props, I'm probably going to be smashing a lot of those. And then when it comes down to the tight ends, Trey McBride might just be the number one player on the week. And George Kittle, clearly the injury was hurting him because his separation score crushed last week. 9 catches, 9 targets, 84 yards and a touchdown. I'm playing George Kittle as a wide receiver two this week.
Yeah, I listen, if I have the luxury of like a Kittle and McBride team, like I feel great. You're right, McBride might have 20 targets this game. But then if you're absolutely super desperate, you mentioned it already, but Michael Wilson had 7 targets, so could be something to monitor, but I think this game gets out of hand quick.
Who wins it?
I'll give it a San Fran. I think Broccoli Rob comes back and looks great.
Yeah, they need that win to hold on to their one game behind, or I guess a game and a half behind Seattle and the Rams. Speaking of Seattle and the Rams, let's go to that game. Let's go to that game. We got it next. We're playing in L.A. It's the 7-2 Seahawks taking on the 7-2 Rams for the division. 48.5 point over under. L.A. favored by 3.
3. Okay. Okay. Yeah, let's jump in. So the Rams allowed the 9th fewest to quarterbacks. That's really all of note there. I mean, Stafford's an absolute dog, quarterback 1. Other side, Darnold. I like Darnold, but he's inconsistent. His recent finishes have either been as a single digit, so like QB8, QB9, or he's 20+, QB22. So really risky. I think this is a shootout kind of game, so I think they need Darnold to stay in it, but I don't hate you for fading.
Running backs, I don't know. You got to talk about Seattle's running backs.
Okay. Yeah, here we go. So the Rams allow the fewest, which doesn't really help you. The Seattle allows the 8th fewest. Kyren, set and forget. No problem. Seattle, forget. Just forget. You skip the whole set and part. You just forget. No, but I'm going to just give a little breakdown of what last week was. Kenneth Walker III, 14 carries. Charbonnet, 14 carries. Haloney, who is holy Haloney. 7 carries. There was 11 red zone carry or 11 red zone opportunities split amongst the 3. Walker had 4, Sharp had 4, Haloney had 3. It's never been this much of a split. It's a terrible matchup. I'm avoiding at all costs. If I had to pick one of these guys, which again, at all costs, they're all RB3s in my book, I would pick Charbonnet because even though Kenneth Walker is the most talented, Charbonnet just seems to be the luckiest guy in the world in this backfield.
I'm picking Walker if I got to pick one.
The talent is there, and that makes sense. This backfield defies logic. It just doesn't make sense.
It does.
I got to calm down, yeah.
For wide receiver, JSN is the wide receiver on the season, like arguably the number one. Rashid Shaheed, first game with the team, a little underwhelming. I'm not putting him in this game.
No, I'm not putting him in. Who I would put in over Rashid Shaheed, Cooper Kupp. You got the revenge game factor. He had 74 yards, a quiet 74 yards last week. I wouldn't be shocked if he finds the end zone. I feel like that's just like a little bit of flair, especially in the house he built. So I'm definitely sprinkling a little bit of that anytime on Cup.
I don't like the Cup play.
No?
I'm just not a fan of it. Devontae Adams, a little banged up in the last game, returned to practice on Thursday.
Yeah, he'll play.
You're playing him.
He had the old man rest on Wednesday.
Give me your thoughts on Puka, and then I'm going to throw something at you on this one.
I mean, what's there to even say? I mean, Puka is the guy. I faded him in the preseason because I thought Matt Stafford had a broken back. Turns out he didn't and just lied to us. I want the NFL investigated for that, how NBA is getting investigated. I want some investigations there. But Puka, I mean, I'm sending and forgetting. What's there to think about?
of course, it's still a play. I'm not trying to get cute and say we're not going to play him. But since the injury, he was injured in week 7, bye week in week 8, week 9, 49% of snaps, week 10, 52% of snaps. What's going on there? Is there something happening? Yeah, something's happening. In that game that he missed in week 7, McVay ran 13 personnel, which is one wide receiver and three tight ends, at 38%. Since that game, they have run 13 personnel at a 43% offensive rate. For perspective, no team has ever had more than 10% of 13 personnel in a full season. Right now, the entire league is at 5% 13 personnel utilization. You can tell that because we have three to four. They had four tight ends in the top 28 last week. Granted, top 28 is a lot of tight ends, but there's one on every team. Four of them finished in the top 28. It's absolutely maddening. Puka's still going to be him. He's going out there, but 6 targets, 5 catches last week, and 8 targets, 7 catches. Those were lows on the season, minus his injured game against Baltimore. So, if anything, trade deadline, I guess maybe this is what can you get for Puka? Can you flip Puka for JSN? Can you flip Puka for a Waddle plus a running back if you're really hurting to split it up? I'm just saying there's something funky going on there. Good coaches make adjustments. And they're winning, so just food for thought.
13 personnel. You're right. It's unheard of. I'm trying to think, and it's like obviously the Patriots were famous for like the Hernandez Gronk matchup, but it's like that's still only two. Where's the third guy?
Yeah, that's 12. That's not even 13. 13 personnel. I don't even think I have that package on Madden. Wild.
And of course, I would think that would benefit Kyren Williams because it's like, oh, that's just more blockers for Kyren, right? No.
He did get 2 touchdowns last week, which was nice. I think that was the first game of the season where he doubled up on rushing touchdowns because it had been pretty grim.
Couldn't save my team. Who wins it? Oh, man. Seattle's going to cover. I'm afraid to say who wins it. I'll say Seattle covers.
I'm going to take the Rams. I believe in the Seattle Seahawks. I think they're a playoff contending team. I think this game shows whether or not they are a Super Bowl contending team, though.
I like that. I like that take. This is going to be a great game.
Yeah, it should be. I think this is my favorite one on the week.
Yeah.
Next up, this could be gross. 4-5 Ravens taking on the 2-7 Browns. It's a 39-point over-under. Baltimore's favored by 7.5. Give me some quarterback talk.
So when I first started my notes on this game, I jotted down Flacco revenge game. I've forgotten that Flacco's been like traded for like a month now, but still in my head, he just started the season as a Brown, and I was just like, oh, nice, revenge game. Nope. So anyways, so Cleveland allows the 5th fewest to quarterbacks. Baltimore is going to have a lot of the allows the X most. But again, that's just a lot of early season carryover. They're finally starting to get healthy again. But the data says they allow the 9th most to quarterbacks. Dylan Gabriel was quarterback 9 last week, fresh off the bye. Granted, it was against the Jets, but I don't know. I think there's something to monitor. I think he could be a very high 2. We're talking like the 13 to 15 range, so I don't hate him in deeper leagues. And then Lamar, he's quarterback. He's missed a ton of games. He's quarterback 3 in points per game already. Last 5 games against the Browns, he scores 23.5 points per game. So that's, you're not even thinking about it. But Dylan G, I think, is worth monitor. I think you could start him here.
Ooh, gross. Gross. Hard pass.
I think you could.
Give me Jameis.
Jameis over him. Jameis over him. This might even be a situation I might do Caleb over Dylan G, but I don't know. I think Dylan G, I think they're finding something there in Cleveland.
Give me I mean, we're going to get to it, but I think Geno's a great play. I'd much rather go Geno than Gabriel.
Oh, okay. We're going to talk about Geno later.
When we get to running backs here, both these guys have the same problem. They're great rushers, absolutely dominant, but neither one of them catch anything. So it's not great. Granted, Henry did have 3 targets last week, 20 attempts, 75 yards. But the previous game against Cleveland, 11 attempts, 23 yards.
Yeah, that was bad. Cleveland allows the 4th fewest to running backs. That's something they do really well. It's like that defense is legit. If the 2 Ohio teams could just set aside their differences and like form 1 super Ohio team, they'd be a wagon in the NFL.
Could you imagine? Yeah, really. You just need the defense from one and the offense on the other, and they'd be a
truly
playoff team.
They'd be a Super Bowl favorite. But okay, back to this matchup. It's a good matchup for Studkins. Baltimore allows the 7th most to running backs. I think they can kind of get something. I talked about flirting with starting Dylan G, so I like Studkins. And then you're right. This could be a stinker for Derrick Henry, but I can't see any kind of game in my right mind. I'm sitting Derrick Henry.
When we have the wide receivers, I mean, Zay Flowers is like a low-end wide receiver two for me. He doesn't find the end zone.
He doesn't. He's about 60 yards a game on a half dozen catches if you're lucky. So, you know, he's probably going to hit that like 7 to 8. He's who we wish Keenan Allen was, is what I'll say about Zay Flowers. Who the pass catcher, who's also just as frustrating, but for a different way, is Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews doesn't get any yards, doesn't get any targets, but what he does get is the red zone targets. So definitely something to monitor. If you just think this offense is going to get stopped short at the 5-yard line, Mark Andrews is going to get that touchdown. So
yeah, I like that call. Here. Jerry Jeudy on the other side, 39% target share last week, 12 targets, 6, 7, 8, and 1. Wide receiver 3, I don't mind it.
Yeah, low 2. I have him a little bit higher because I think that's just like my Dillon G optimism. Like I could even see him like outscoring all the pass catchers on the other side of the ball, on Baltimore's side, just because it seems like he's the guy Dillon G likes. I know on this pod, or me personally, I like Tillman. Dillon G didn't get the memo, so Jeudy's going to be the guy that gets those looks.
It's because Tillman's too far down the field for Dillon Gabriel to A, throw it to, or B, C. His offensive line's too big. Or he's too small. Fannin and Andrews, though, like the tight end plays this week.
I like the tight ends as well. Like I said, Andrews is going to get 2 targets, but they'll both be red zone targets.
Who wins it?
Oh, man. This feels like a Cleveland upset. This feels like a Cleveland money line. Like, you see Baltimore, they're, like, getting their mojo back. Like, the gang's healthy again. And then they go into Cleveland, and Cleveland just muddies up this game, and it's like a 10-6 game.
I can see the defense, just kind of like the last time they met, the defense kept it interesting for a while, but I think the Ravens get the best of Dillon Gabriel here, and they get the points.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I'll pick Cleveland here.
All righty. Here we go. Last of the afternoon games. Another divisional one. 5-4 Chiefs. Yes, finally. Last of them. 5-4 Chiefs taking on the 8-2 Broncos. I don't know which one surprised me more at those records. 44.5 point over under. Kansas City is favored by 4 in this one. Talk to me about these quarterbacks.
Here's a fun stat when I was looking up like the quarterbacks of this game. Mahomes is 13-1 against Denver, which is just crazy to me. Like, oh, getting dog walked. But let's talk fantasy. Denver allows the second fewest to quarterbacks. Mahomes averages across 14 games against Denver. He averages 18.1. So to me, that's like a low quarterback one. I think Denver's defense is even better than they are in most of those 14 games. So I think you're starting Mahomes, but I wouldn't be shocked if he is a double-digit quarterback this week. And then we're back to no Knicks.
I've got Bo Nix at quarterback 20 this week. Like, I'm playing Tua, I'm playing Darnold, I'm playing Brissett, I'm playing Geno, I'm playing Marcus Mariota, all over Bo Nix.
There's a ton of guys I'm playing over Bo Nix. He's just been a bummer, and the offense is not clicking.
Isaiah Pacheco missed practice again, so it looks like he's probably going to be out. Gives me a lot more confidence to play Kareem Hunt, despite it being a tough matchup for him.
Yeah, brutal matchup for both guys, honestly. Kansas City, 6th fewest, Denver, 7th fewest. Dobbins, there's rumors he could go on IR as of late Thursday. He isn't on IR yet. I'm expecting him to miss this game. I'm kind of hoping he doesn't go on IR, and it's just a whole lot of nothing. He returns next week. But all that to be said, Harvey should benefit, but we've just seen what Sean Payton's doing. He loves to get these two running back backfields. So I think Harvey's going to get a bulk of the carries, but I think Prentice, I'm not even familiar with this guy's name, but I think he's going to definitely get some work just to really not to have any fantasy value, but just to eat into Harvey's load.
Yeah, Tyler Bidet is a possibility. He's out there for a lot of the pass catching downs, like Jaleel McLaughlin. There's so much going on there. I think Harvey is as confident as a play as you can because no J.K. Dobbins, but temper expectations. Screwy stuff happens with Sean Payton calling plays.
Yeah, he loves doing wacky stuff. And then you nailed it on Hunt. I think he's also a really good touchdown scorer. And that's where a majority of his value seems to come because his yards per carry is just not there anymore.
These wide receivers, I think the only one you were truly confident in is Rashee Rice. Let's talk about Worthy, Sutton, and Franklin. Nick's not here. Yes. We can say whatever we want.
So Worthy, I want to start with. He did pop up on the injury report on late Thursday with an ankle, something to monitor. But it is just Kansas City pass catchers. It feels like there's a huge cliff after Rice. It feels like any given week it's the Holiday-Worthy split. If Worthy misses, that's a good bump to Holiday, Hollywood. But he's still a wide receiver 3. You know, if he catches a touchdown, it's bumped. On the other side, I think I'm more interested. I think it goes Rice and then Franklin, because again, I'm a Franklin truther. So I have Franklin as like kind of a mid wide receiver too, Sutton, a little bit lower. But so that'd be my rankings in this game is Rice, Franklin, Sutton, and then Hollywood slash Worthy, because they're the same.
Yeah, Franklin is second in the league in deep targets, and he has the worst quarterback as far as accuracy going, throwing those deep passes. So, look, even a broken watch is right twice a day. I think that he could make that connection at any point. We've seen it happen once this year. But I guess Franklin's above Sutton. I'm sitting. Like, I've got no problem sitting him at this point.
I agree. I think Bo Nix can't support two fantasy viable quarterbacks, and I think the torch is passed.
Honestly, I think I'd probably start Kelce before I started a Denver pass catcher.
I like that. I think Kelce's kind of gone back to his himself. I think he just, you know, his old man self needed 10 games, you know, 8 games to get back into rhythm. We saw it early where it seemed like he wasn't giving an effort. We thought he'd retire and just go marry Taylor Swift, but he's starting to care again. So
I guess. I like that. I guess. Who wins it?
Mahomes is 13-1 against Denver. I'm just going to stay with those odds. I'll say Kansas City covers.
Despite them having 4 losses this year, I don't bet against Mahomes. I just don't.
You can't. You just can't. Like, I like money too much to do that.
Absolutely. All right, folks. We got a fun one here on Sunday Night Football. Let's go. 6-3 Lions taking on the 7-2 Pouty AJ Brown. I mean, the Eagles. 46.5 point over under Philly. 2.5 point favorite. Yeah, folks, if you didn't see the stream of J.J. Brown coming out and openly saying, if you have me in fantasy, drop me. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff coming from your stud wide receiver. But let's start here with quarterbacks. Jared Goff is a huge fade for me this week.
Oh, it's Road Goff. Are you kidding me? Like, Road Goff, we fade. And then this is just like a bonus matchup. Philly allows the 10th fewest to quarterbacks. See ya. And then Hurts. We love Hurts. We're running him out there. Quarterback one.
Absolutely. Running backs.
Yeah, Detroit allows the second fewest to running back, so that's something to monitor. You're not going to bench Barkley. You're still going to throw him out there. Same with Gibbs. Same with Monty. I just can't see a world. I mean, Barkley, Gibbs, both studs. Monty is one of the higher running back twos for me. They just love getting him involved. I think this one's pretty simple there.
Yeah, something to note if you didn't see the news last week. Dan Campbell took over play calling for this team. He's pretty good at it. He's pretty good at it. If you look at the games just since Dan Campbell and Jared Goff have united, Jared Goff has a better QBR with Dan Campbell than any of his play callers, including Ben Johnson. And it's a only 7 games compared to the sample size of Ben Johnson, but Dan Campbell gets his guys involved. We see Gibbs getting more involved. We saw J-Mo getting more involved. So I am very excited for this offense. Going to wide receivers here, Amon-Ra is the... I think he's the safest and most confident play out of these 4 wide receivers here. Thoughts on the other 3?
Yeah. I always love, that's my favorite part of these, is doing these shows. It's like, all right, so Brian takes the layup, and then Mario, you take the full court heave. So just bringing this down by position. So Detroit allows the 8th most. Philadelphia allows the 10th fewest, but we still like Sun God the most. When it goes to Philadelphia, Smith over Brown, I think we kind of talked about enough Brown. He says he's droppable. I think Brown has had one good game. It was back in week 3 when he played against me. I'm playing against him again, so take that as you will. So we'll probably have another stud performance, especially after saying drop me in fantasy. But I like Smith. He just seems like he's the consistent pass catcher. He's getting the volume. He's getting everything. J-Mo, you know I don't like J-Mo, especially not here. If you think Detroit wins the game, like you kind of talked about, it's through the play calling. I think Jameson Williams would get involved in said play calling. Otherwise, to me, it's just a high 4. And lastly, we're just talking pass catchers. Dallas Goedert is an end zone machine. Like, he's what we wish Mark Andrews was. So I love Dallas Goedert this week.
Yeah, finally, no touchdown for him this past week. Also, Sam Laporta didn't practice Thursday. It's a Monday game, so this is more looked at as a Wednesday. But keep an eye on that. If he misses, I like J-Mo so much more. I've had Devonta Smith ranked over A.J. Brown the last 2 weeks. I'm switching it. For some reason, like, despite my,
I'm saying, I'm
my disdain for Sirianni, he seems so vindictive that he wouldn't play the whole squeaky wheel gets the grease. He would punish AJ Brown by continuing the bad coaching and not giving him the ball. But something in me wants to lean into AJ Brown this week. I want to play him with confidence, despite the negativity that's surrounding him.
Did you see, this is probably some too deep in Eagles Twitter. Did you see that today at Thursday at practice, Big Dumb got AJ Brown and the Eagles owner, Jeffrey Lurie, together. So that way they could have like a conversation about AJ Brown's frustrations.
It's not the owner. It's the OC and the head coach's inability to move on from the OC or his ability to step in there and do it right because he can't call the plays. If he doesn't have Kellen Moore, like another pod.
Again, I need Miami to go ahead and fire Mike McDaniel, get him in his shorts and, you know, his cool sneakers over to Philadelphia. We'll welcome him in open arms.
Brian Daboll's available. I don't know why they haven't jumped on that one.
Oh my God, he's a Josh Allen merchant.
Who wins it?
I mean, go Birds. What's the mug say? What's the mug say, Brian?
No surprise there. Like the Lions. I think these teams are pretty well built. I think both rosters are good, but I'm taking the coaching. I'm taking Dan Campbell.
Wow. Yeah, I'll say this is also just like in pure football, this is a big game for the standings for the NFC one seed, right? Because obviously I think the two biggest competitions right now, the Eagles have beaten the Packers, the Bucks, the Rams. So this is kind of like the last of that trifecta. They need to secure that one seed, knock on wood.
Yeah, we've got, 3-7-2 teams for the NFC going at it. One of them will definitely lose in the Seattle Rams game. So, yeah, Eagles have a pretty good chance at tying it up with the other one.
Pretty good.
Monday night, going to Vegas, everybody. We're gambling. We got the 3-5-1 Cowboys taking on the 2-7 Raiders. It's a 50.5 point over-under. Dallas is favored by 3.5. Let's talk quarterbacks.
Well, that's 35, not 3.5. Yes, Dallas allows, there's going to be a whole lot of these, but Dallas allows the most points to quarterback. Is this the Geno get right game? I don't think so. I know you, I'll let you talk about Geno. I like Dak. I think he's going to bounce back. But Geno, I'm not playing. Are you?
I got him at QB 15. I'm willing to play him. I'm willing to put him out there over, I have him over Sam Darnold. I've got him over Bo Nix. I have him over Jared Goff.
I agree over Jared Goff. I think the other two. I think Darnold I would do over him. Because Darnold, I just expect that to be a competitive. It's a 7-2 quarterback facing off against another 7-2 team for Darnold. But I digress. Running backs.
Running backs. Javonte Williams, Ashton Jeanty, both of them have been. Jeanty maybe not quite as like consistent. No. But over his last few games, RB14, RB5, 5 targets in both of those games. That's what we need. We need him involved in the passing game.
Yeah, and I think he's going to get that there, especially Dallas. They allow the fourth most to running back, so I love that for Jeanty. Javonte coming off one of his few bad games of the season. I think he bounces back here. We talked about that over-under totals around 50, give or take. So I if it gets anywhere close to that, Javonte is going to score at least one. So I love them both. High running back twos.
100%. For the Dallas wide receivers, CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, how much do you love these guys?
I mean, how could you love him more? Like, the Vegas allows the 6 most points to wide receivers. Pickens, CD, you name it. You start them both, you feel great. Even Ferguson. I know Ferguson has kind of been up and down a little bit this season, but I throw him out there, no hesitation. I love all the guys. On the other side, Dallas allows the most points to wide receivers, but the only problem is, who are the wide receivers? Is it Trey Tucker, who had, like, that random 40-burger early on in the season? I don't know. Like, I joked about Tyler Lockett last week. Guess what? He did the best of the bunch. Turns out Pete Carroll's making sure his guy gets involved. So,
33-year-old Tyler Lockett. We're not age shaming here, but we are.
that's like my age, give or take. So, like, Tyler Lockett, you go out there and be an NFL player, and I'll just talk about it, you know, from the safety of my home. But I might take the dart throw on Tyler Lockett. Like I said, like, Trey Tucker. Unless he's going to come out and do that 30-point game, 40-point game again, I might roll the dice on Tyler Lockett.
If you need a floor play, I don't hate the Lockett. You know, he did get 6 targets last week. Him and Geno have some rapport. But, if you need some points and you're willing to roll the dice, you're in a 12-team league, you need points. Trey Tucker, Dallas is one of the worst teams against perimeter receivers. Okay. That's where Trey Tucker lives. He is out there on every single snap. He is the big guy. You know, he's out there. The speed guy. I'm going to be hitting some props with Trey Tucker. Let me just say that. Am I actually starting him and playing him anywhere? No, I'm not. But I don't know. It's just something to monitor. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a top 36 wide receiver this week.
I wouldn't be surprised. And then, like, honestly, on the other side, I wouldn't be surprised if Tyler Lockett was. Like I said, it's just he did the best of the bunch. You mentioned the good matchup for perimeter guys, but Pete Carroll's getting his 33-year-old guy involved.
Yeah, at the deadline, we saw Cowboys trade for Quinnen Williams, the defensive tackle. He's a run stopper. So, if anything, I don't see him affecting this passing game at all.
No, if anything, that hurts Genty a little bit, but I think Genty is still a pretty safe play here. There's just going to be so many points. That's just every single Dallas game. I feel like their over-under is set to 50 at a minimum. And this is no exception.
Samesies. Who are you picking?
Oh, man. I'll give Vegas to cover, but I think in actuality it would be another tie, and Dallas will go down as the first team, and I can remember, to have two ties on the season.
It is wild to think that, like, the Cowboys feel like they're a lot better than 3-5-1, but they've only got one more win than the Raiders.
Good thing they've got an even matchup on paper.
Yeah, good thing they've got two first-round picks this year. Folks, that's it. We're done. Week 11 in the books. We've got it wrapped up. Be sure to come check us out over there on QBList.com, where you can find all of the other information, all of the ranks that we're putting up there. Mario, the people looking for more of you and your amazing work, where can they find it?
Oh, well, I'm flattered. You can find me primarily here. You'll find me on Twitter at Mario Adamo Jr. You'll find me doing the Tuesday morning pod, where we talk waivers. We talk like the best of the bunch, the worst of the bunch with Brian and Nick. I'm on that. You'll also find me doing the waiver wire article that drops Tuesday mornings. My top fives, as well as some honorable mentions in the defenses I like the most that are rostered in 50% or more. And of course, this one you're listening to now, the sit start. That's it. That's where you find me. But people needed more Brian. They have too little Brian. Where do they get more Brian?
If you're looking for more of me, it is at @too_much_Brian on Twitter. That's where you'll find most of my work being linked up through there. I've got another podcast as well, but mostly it's here. It's hanging out with QB List. It's checking out all the website or all the stuff we have on the website, all of the great information. Folks, good luck on your leagues. We'll see you tomorrow for my interview with Jay. While we check it out. See y'all next time.
Peace.